The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Welcome to Grace in Focus, a radio show of the Grace Evangelical Society. I'm Lucas Kitchen, and I am here to say thank you for joining us. We're taking questions from listeners just like you. If you've got questions, you can reach out to us through email, radio@faithalone.org. Now, we've got a lot to cover today, but I want to remind you about our National Bible Conference, which is coming up very soon. You can get all the details about this wonderful event by going to faithalone.org and clicking on events. We certainly hope to see you there. Well, today we're going to talk about the Book of Life. We're also going to talk about the purpose of the law, both today, before, and after salvation. So, should be interesting. Let's get right to that discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
All right, thanks for tuning in to the show. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And the coffee and the Red Bull have not hit me yet. How are you feeling? Actually, the fried chicken is hitting me.
we had fried Kentucky chicken. KFC it's called.
My caffeine is not counteracting the fried chicken-ness.
Yeah. And also French fries. Those are the best French fries.
They've improved their French fries. I mean, this is not an ad for KFC. We don't get any money from any of those places. Nothing. Here's a question from Donald. Book of Life versus Lamb's Book of Life. Is there a difference? And exactly what are these books?
Good question. I don't think there's a difference except in Exodus 32, it talks about God's book. Moses said, look, don't blot out the people if you're going to destroy anybody. Blot me out of your book.
Yeah.
And he's talking about the book of those who are physically living.
Yeah.
There's a couple of references to that. But in the book of Revelation, I believe it's also in Colossians 4:2, there is a reference to the Book of Life, and also in the Book of Revelation on one or two occasions, the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the same thing.
Yeah.
And that lists all the people who have everlasting life, all the people who are born again.
Yeah, and it might not only list their names, but their reputations too, or
it might,
or their level of rewardability. I'm not quite sure.
Right. That could be in there because of Revelation 3, 4, and 5, which talks about special white garments and won't blot his name out of the Book of Life, which I take it probably means won't block his reputation out. But in the context, it's clearly saying that the overcomer is one who's going to be clothed in white and he's going to be confessed before Jesus. He will exalt his name, not blot it out.
Right. It's kind of like sometimes I'll tell my son, you know, it's Zane, you can't do this. Because, you know, you'll ruin the Lazar name, meaning
right.
Our reputation.
Right.
And Christians, if we have a good reputation, that means we've lived a life worthy of reward.
Yeah, and it'll travel with us.
All right, Donald, that was really simple. Well, how about this? Why do we say there's a difference between this Book of Life in the Old Testament and the Lamb's Book of Life?
Well, basically because in the Old Testament, there's one reference in the Psalms and also Exodus 32. They're talking about physical life and physical death. Whereas in the book of Revelation, it's talking about life after death. For example, Revelation 20:15, anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
Yeah.
Well, that means if a person at the great white throne judgment does not have his name in the book of life, he's going to be eternally condemned. But that's not what's going on in the one reference in the Psalms and one reference in Exodus 32.
Jesus is not saying, whoever is not alive goes to the lake of fire.
Right.
Well, that wouldn't make any sense.
Right. He is, in
or
a sense,
physically alive.
He's spiritually alive. Yeah, you have to have everlasting life. And if you're in the book of life,
Yeah. You're
not even going to be judged at the great white throne judgment, at least not in terms of eternal destiny, because John 5:24 says the believer shall not come into judgment regarding everlasting life.
Okay, let's see here. This is one from Evan, and Evan says, would you say that the law for salvation is to show our sinfulness, to bring us to Jesus, but that after salvation, we live by the law for growth? Maybe I can put it this way. Before salvation is the purpose of the law to show us our sinfulness, to bring us to Jesus, and then after salvation, to help us to grow. Is that what the law is for?
Right. Let me suggest that I think there's a lot of confusion here, and I'm glad that Evan has asked it. First of all, the law prior to the birth of the church was the law of Moses. Yeah. Well, that was from that dispensation. From the time it was given to Moses at Mount Sinai all the way through to the birth of the church on Pentecost, 50 days after Jesus' death and resurrection, from during that time, that law was to lead people to Christ. But it had other purposes. That wasn't the only one. It was also to be a standard for godliness and holiness. People were to obey God's commands.
Sure.
But they were never to live by the commandments. They were always to live by focusing on God, focusing on Yahweh, on the giver of the law, and David knew that. That's why he was a man after God's own heart. Once the church age began, then we were no longer under the law of Moses. So today the law of Moses isn't convicting us of anything except for those parts of the law of Moses that are repeated in the New Testament, and those are called the law of liberty or the law of Christ or the royal law. In other words, all the commands of the New Testament serve as a law. And do those lead unbelievers to faith in Christ? Well, they can. As the unbeliever realizes, the unbeliever falls short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23.
Yeah.
Well, then they're drawn toward the Messiah who gives everlasting life.
Yeah.
But once the person comes to faith in Christ, we still have all the commands of the New Testament. And yes, those commands are something God uses to make us more and more like Christ. But we still don't live according to those laws. What we do is we live by faith in Christ, and we keep the commandments because we love him and because as we're in his word, we're transformed.
So we're not under the law of Moses, but we are under laws.
Right.
But then what is Paul saying? We're not under law, we're under grace.
Well, I think when he says we're not under law, he means the law of Moses.
So we're just under a different law.
Right, we are.
So when you say we're not supposed to live by the law, what can you say more about that? Because obviously, if we're under it, we have to live by it in some sense, but you're saying we don't have to live by it in another sense.
Well, there are people who think that the way we advance in the Christian life is by being determined.
Yeah.
And the more dedicated we are, the more determined we are, the more we will advance in the Christian life. And in this way of looking at it, there would really be nothing wrong with keeping a list of the positive and negative commands on our bathroom mirror or on our phone and just constantly looking at the commandments. If we live that way, we're going to fail. Because a focus on the commandments does not produce the righteousness of God. In order to obey the commandments, we need to fall more and more in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. And in order for that to occur, the Word of God needs to change us. Romans 12:2, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He doesn't say, but be transformed by being dedicated to keeping the commands.
Yeah.
And the same thing in 2 Corinthians 3:18. We all with unveiled face, beholding as a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed in the same image by the work of the Spirit.
So the laws can't help you get better. Because if you focus on them, the exact opposite happens.
Right. That's what Paul says in Romans 7.
Right.
A focus on any of the laws is going to produce sin.
Right. So we have the laws, but we're not focused on them. We're focused on Christ.
Right.
And then somehow that produces our obedience.
Exactly. It's not that we're not aware of the laws. In fact, the main way in which we interact with the commandments is by confessing our sins.
Right.
We recognize, oh, I fell short there. I acknowledge it to God. And God uses the very process of confession to change me.
Right.
And he also uses, I'm in church, and I hear a principle taught from God's word, and that principle now becomes part of my mindset. That changes me.
Yeah.
And it's not because I'm so dedicated. Haven't you heard a lot of speakers? I remember one guy who was heading a major ministry, and he talked about how we needed to be dedicated, and the key to our Christian life was dedication, and we needed to get things in our daily planner.
Yeah.
Well, there's nothing wrong with putting things in our daily planner, but I learned, and I learned this the hard way, is I came to realize that dedication wasn't the key to the Christian life.
Because it's basically, you know, just telling someone to try harder.
That doesn't work.
That doesn't work.
Because the scriptures don't teach that. The scriptures teach that it's God who is at work in us. God changes us. And the way he changes us is by his word renewing our minds. And so I came to realize it's not let go and let God, although there's a bit of that. It's more like I am trying to obey God, but in God's way, which means I pray about it. I ask God to take his word and change me.
So
you've done a lot of writing on the law, and you've done a lot of study on the law.
I don't find Paul easy to understand. It's like what Peter says. You know, there's a lot of hard stuff in Paul. It's hard to address this situation, too, because Paul is the one who's making them realize, wait a second, we're not under the Mosaic law anymore. We're in this new group of Jews and Gentiles together on equal footing, which is not really something Jesus talked about. Jesus came for Israel, for Jews, strictly for them.
Yep.
And every once in a while, you know, here's a Samaritan here, here's a Gentile here. But he didn't go around saying, I'm starting this church. So Paul trying to figure out, like, how do Jews and Gentiles interact on an equal basis in, say, Rome or in the churches in Galatia? Huge controversies that you see all across the epistles.
And your point about maybe being under law is different than being subject to the commands. So maybe you're right. Maybe we're not under any law when he says we're not under law but under grace. Under in the sense of that's our guiding principle.
See, that I think
maybe
that might,
that's what
that
it
might
means.
Be a good point there. Like, what does it mean to be under it? Because it's not like Christians have no commands whatsoever and God says, I don't care what you do. He's given us lots of, you know, this is what it means to love and forgive your neighbor. And there's lots of commands like that. But is that our focus, really? Or is it more just like, didn't you once tell me it's kind of like looking in a rearview mirror or something?
The law, I think, like somebody else came up with that, but I like it.
So instead of, you're not focusing on the, it's like driving a car. The Christian life is like driving a car. Where do you focus when you drive the car?
Hopefully
your phone.
Ahead.
Oh, okay, ahead. Yeah, that's better.
Looking
must be
ahead.
The road, okay. But every once in a while, you look in the rearview mirror, and the rearview mirror is the law. But you don't focus on there. You look at the road, I guess. Is Jesus the road? Is
I
he
am
the way?
Way.
Yeah.
That's good. So, but there's room for more study on this.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
a
lots.
Very important subject.
Absolutely. This law issue is so big. I mean, if you have any questions about it, we want to hear from you because your questions provoke us to think about it and to study it. So send us your question at radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Our goal is to teach Scripture clearly and without confusion. One of the best tools for gaining that clarity, we believe, is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have all kinds of materials that are designed to help you mature and grow in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. Please come visit us at faithalone.org. You'll be glad you did. God loves a cheerful giver, and that's why we think our financial partners are the happiest people of all. If you'd like to learn how to become a financial partner with Grace in Focus, we would very much appreciate it. You can learn more at faithalone.org. It's really exciting to hear from our listeners. So if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, I hope you'll reach out to us. Best way to do that is through email. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. We hope you have a wonderful weekend. We look forward to being back with you on Monday. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.